Well, good evening. Glad to be with all of you again today as we are looking together at the fourth verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. As we've been going over that hymn during the Advent season, we come to the fourth verse where we are now calling upon the branch of Jesse to come and visit us. That's a kind of unusual, unfamiliar name of Jesus, and yet it is an important one as we will see this evening. For Jesus, he comes as the one and final king. And in preparation of his coming, let us prepare our hearts, singing our first hymn together, number 348. Would you please stand as you're able? There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. The people shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before your presence tonight, we confess that we have daily sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Though you are the Lord and King over all things, we have not lived according to this truth. We have set ourselves upon the thrones of our hearts. We have closed our hearts off to the influence of your reign. And by our actions, we have chosen to live as if we are our own lords. for we have served ourselves and our own desires. Grant us forgiveness and the fear of the Lord, so that we may again respect and obey you and your kingship. Almighty God, merciful Father, you have sent your Son into the world to establish a new kingdom not made with hands. You have set Jesus to be king over all, so that he would rule in love, strength, and mercy. We praise you for establishing this kingdom and for calling us into it. We thank you for bringing us into your church, where you daily and richly forgive us our sins. Give us confidence and strength that we are your people, cherished, loved, and forgiven through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. The epistle reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. It has been testified somewhere, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to Jesus, the Father left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Our gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Thou branch of Jesse's tree, and free us from Satan's tyranny. In verse 4, we get what's perhaps one of the most obscure titles for Jesus that we ever get. The branch from Jesse's tree. Well, as you well know, we have loads of names and titles for God. And quite frankly, we are familiar with so many of them. We know Jesus as Emmanuel. We know him as the Wonderful Counselor, as the Prince of Peace. We know him as the Mighty God and Everlasting Father. What's more, we could go on. We know Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We know him as the I Am that spoke from the burning bush, or as the Lamb of God. We know him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, I could go on and on listing names and titles for Jesus. In fact, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was so tempted to do just that. Because each one of these names, it is like honey to our souls. They're just so sweet and wonderful to behold, and it does our spirits good to just hear again the various names and titles that God has. We could comfort ourselves in seeing again how Jesus is the Christ and the Messiah, how he's the bread of life, the water of life, how he's the good shepherd, he's the door, he's the cornerstone, he's the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. I hope I've made my point, and yet I could easily go on and on and on. For without exaggeration, I literally have a list of well over 100 names and titles for just Jesus himself. And as if that wasn't enough, I have on top of that a whole nother list for names of the Father. And yet still another list of names for the Holy Spirit. All that to say is that we are familiar with using many names for God. For our God is so big that he needs these many names. Or more precisely, he's so great that we need them. We need these countless number of names and titles just so that we can begin to wrap our minds around him. We need all of these names and titles for God simply because each one captures a different aspect of his being. That is a unique facet of his character. You know, for me personally, I can go by Pastor, I can go by Alan. At home, I might go by Hubby, or more recently, I can be going by Dad. But that just about sums me up completely. And as you can see then, the fullness of my being, it can quite easily be wrapped up in just four names and titles. But that is not so easily done with God. He literally needs hundreds and hundreds of names and titles just so that we can begin to wrap our minds around him. He's much too great, too beautiful and too wonderful, too inexhaustible to be fully grasped by just five or six different titles. No, again, he needs hundreds and hundreds. In fact, even still, even with all the names that we have, I still wouldn't dare say that we have encompassed him. For even after all of this revelation, still Jesus is described by Paul, calling him indescribable. And we read about how Jesus is incomprehensible, and how his understanding is beyond measure. But while we rightly have and need some hundreds of names and titles for Jesus, it's the name referenced in our Advent hymn this evening. That's again probably one of the least familiar ones to us. Or at the very least, it's the one that we tend to use less often. O come, thou branch of Jesse's tree. What is that? And why is that important? Well, dear friends, Jesse, we know, was the father of King David. And so we could say that from the roots of Jesse then grew out a massive kingdom. The eighth son of Jesse, God raised up from such humble means and through him established this mighty empire. And although he was just a lowly shepherd boy, David was brought forth to lead Israel in strength, in truth, and in righteousness. God chose David as a man after his own heart. The Lord was with him in defeating Goliath on the battlefield, and from there, David wins the hearts of all the people. We're told that they sang about him in the streets, saying that Saul slayed his thousands, but David, he slayed his tens of thousands. And soon after then, of course, we see David getting crowned king, which is the beginning of this mighty dynasty. And so again, from the roots of Jesse grew out this massive kingdom. For after David, then came Solomon, who himself led Israel through what historians call that golden age. This was a time of economic prosperity. The kingdom exploded in terms of its power and wealth and influence. Solomon, through his unmatched wisdom and understanding, he conquered the world through diplomacy alone. Never once did he even have to lift the sword, but rather through treaties and through his 700 wives and marriages, he established peace with all of the surrounding nations. And instead of a sword, it was wisdom that expanded the kingdom of Israel from sea to sea. And yet, dear friends, after Solomon, though, we see the kingdom taking its turn. Of course, after Solomon, the golden age ceased. The kingdom split. And now in two, the northern and southern kingdoms, we see not peace and prosperity, but division and decline. For these kingdoms now quickly degrade. King after king seemed to just go from bad to worse as all the people suffered. Israel was on a steep decline as king set aside righteousness and justice, as they engaged in idol worship, and as they forsook all the ways of God. And it all comes to its head when enough was enough. When God's long-suffering wore thin, and God raises up Babylon and Assyria to topple the nation Israel. Right before where our Old Testament reading picks up, in chapter 10, God talks about raising up the Babylonians and to use them as if an axe. Isaiah says that in God's hands, the Lord Almighty will lop off the branches with his awesome power. With the axe of Babylon in his hands, the lofty trees will be chopped down, and the tall ones will be brought low. And that's, of course, exactly what happens. Like an axe before the tree, Babylon comes in and Israel collapses. Israel's cut down like trees as the people are taken into slavery and David's dynasty is demolished. For no longer will a king ever sit upon David's throne again. But herein lies the beauty of this title for Jesus, the branch of Jesse's tree. Or as Isaiah puts it, a shoot from that stump of Jesse. For while the kingdom which came from the loins of Jesse was cut down to the stump, and while it had every appearance of being dead, appearing as if God's kingdom had failed them, but within the stump, dear friends, there was still the germ of life. There was still a kernel of hope. God still had plans for his people. He still desired life for the nation. And he had plans still to rule over them with mercy, grace, and prosperity. And so God gives the promise that out of Jesse a shoot will come forth. Another branch, if you will, from the tree. And out of the stump shall come an even greater and more glorious kingdom, a new kingdom that shall have no end. God will raise from Jesse's descendants a new David, a greater Solomon, and he shall govern his people and lead them in righteousness. The significance of all this is that we need a ruler, dear friends, and one that can rule us in justice and truth. Though we need rulers to govern the nations, rulers who will for us curb evil and bring evildoers and their actions to nothing. Yet how often do the world's leaders and the kingdoms of this world fail us? They don't uphold justice. They don't serve the people. They might call it public service, but rarely is it ever. It is self-service. The rulers of the nations, they never seem to rule for the people. They simply appease the people just enough to foster their support, but then they inevitably rule for themselves. When will we ever get a king, though, who will really serve the people? Someone who will truly stand for justice and righteousness. In the Old Testament, we see that we never get that sort of king from man. Even David, though he had the greatest potential to being selfless, of being an honorable king, even still, though, not even he could entirely live up to the calling. Surely some thought that the king from humble means he would be a king for the people. Surely the man after God's own heart will do all things well. But that's not what we see. For rather, we see even David failed. We watch in horror as he took Bathsheba in adultery and murdered her husband. Even David wasn't immune from selfish rule. Solomon, though he ruled well, and although people prospered under him, no one could ever claim that he ruled for the people. Rather, we see him building large palaces and eating most lavish food every day. He hired numerous servants just to wait upon him. We are told that he had 70,000 laborers to build up his kingdom. He had another 80,000 stonecutters to cut rocks in his quarries for his various projects. Solomon, though he ruled wisely, even still, though, he was not a king for the masses. But praise God, dear friends, that is exactly how Jesus rules. He comes to be a king for the downcast. He is a king who rules in power and might for his subjects. And the day is coming when his kingdom will put an end to all divisions among us. We are told that the world will be perfected, that even the lion and the lamb will lie down together. We are told that there will be no hurting or fighting in all of his holy mountain. Under his reign, there won't be pain or sorrows. All this will cease under his kingship. The nations will come to him. They will find rest for their souls. They will beat their swords into plowshares. And they will study war no more. Jesus shall be a king for the countless multitudes who stands before his throne, and he shall rule forever in righteousness. The day is coming, and we do well to sing and to wait for it, that the branch of Jesse's tree will come in power to rule all things completely. Beloved, may we look forward to that day when Jesus will complete that reign. Though he is king today, we don't always see that kingdom yet in its fullness. It's still hidden if you will, from our eyes, for it hides behind the chaos of this world. But the day is coming when God's reign will be completed, when Satan's tyranny will be vanquished once and for all, and when Satan and his followers are thrown into their fiery prison forever, into the lake of fire, John says, which is the second death. We look forward to that day when Jesus will come as a new and greater David, ruling his people totally and completely. For then he will share all of his riches with the masses. In heaven there will be found no needy person in his kingdom. And more than that, not only that there won't be anyone needy, but they will all, everyone, everywhere, be full of delight. Praise the Lord that he comes to rule in love, mercy, grace, and strength and perfection for his people. And let us wait that day, dear friends, and sing, "Come, thou branch of Jesse, come." Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, 350. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, you are our strong and mighty, magnificent and wonderful. You are beyond all comprehension. And so we praise your holy name as the King of the universe. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word and prophets. And we thank you most of all for revealing yourself to us through your Son. Continue to comfort us with the truth that you are loving, merciful, kind, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. As you have given so many names and titles by which to call upon you, lead us in greater understanding of you. Lead us to know you more and to love and trust you more. And lead us always to call upon your name. Lord, in your mercy. And mighty God, as we live out our days, we ask that you would lead us every day to learn more about you. As you are infinite in your glory, so move us to use our days to grow in fellowship and closeness to you. Unite us to yourself so that we may live and receive daily strength from you. Give us your Spirit so that we may live lives of holiness, justice, mercy, and love. Be with us as we seek to love our neighbors as ourselves and to serve them with all that we have. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all faithfulness, we again praise you that your promises and purposes always come to pass. We acknowledge you to be the Lord of lords and King of kings. You bring life out of death and hope out of chaos. As you always have a purpose for your people, give us the heart to put our trust into your care. As you have brought Christ into the world, and as you promise to do so again, lead us to look forward to that day when you will establish your eternal kingdom once and for all. Move within us to long to look forward to that day. And may we live even today in your kingdom. Take our lives and use them for your glory, to make your name great, and to share your gospel to those around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, as we look forward to eternity, when there will be no more pain, suffering, or sorrows, still we long for your peace and healing today. While you promise to put an end to all harm and danger in the new heavens and new earth, we ask that you would give us peace, patience, and strength to overcome our trials today. Those who are hurting in body and spirit, grant them your healing touch. Give them your Spirit, and lead all people everywhere to find comfort in you and in your promises. Use all these trials to lead your people to trust ever more securely in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And we pray our concluding collect. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart. That by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. And you may be seated for our departing hymn.